from the heart of the Nautical Mile. You're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Live from the Catholic Men's Conference at the Holy Trinity High School, the most beautiful school in the area, it's time for
Listen Up, Jesus is on the Air.
Amen.
That's Al Barbarino.
And that was Dr. John Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you we love Jesus.
Now, I have to tell you something, Tony.
You got a cold, and you've been sneezing on me all morning.
And you're going to have to behave.
I promise.
Because if you don't behave, I'm going to sneeze all over you.
I promise. You've been sneezing on me all morning anyway.
We have a couple of wonderful men came in from the rain. Because at this men's conference, the whole point of the conference is to respond to the call of Jesus. So we have Carmine Dorsey, and Carmine is from St. Rose of Lima, and he belongs to the men's group over at Curia of Oz. And we have Sean McCormick, and Sean is from all the way out in the island, Our Lady of Mercy in Hicksville. He lives out in the island. And he runs prayer group, the men. We're having fun. The men of St. Joseph.
You're going to get fired, Palmer.
Well,
I'm taking over.
I'm talking and trying to get my fingers at the same time. But just for people to know, we're broadcasting live from this conference. I have an iPad with music on it. And I pressed the first song. It didn't play right away. Then I pressed it again, and it played. I prayed. And then I forgot to turn it off. So it's always things like that that happen. But you know what's so important is to have you guys here. And Carmine, we're going to start with you. And we're going to ask you, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. And then we're going to ask you, how did you respond to God's call?
Okay. First of all, small correction. I'm part of the Men of Cure of Ours, okay, as well as the Men of St. Rose of Lima, my parish. And I'm also involved with the Long Island Catholic Men's Ministry as well. Mm-hmm. So it continues to grow with the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, what are we?
That's right.
And you're the grassroots.
That's
you're
right.
You're the grassroots of all these ministries.
That's right. It all began with the one Holy Catholic Apostolical Church.
Wow.
It's powerful words.
Yes.
So I'm a father of two children. And we have a moral obligation to raise our children. And the goal is only one goal. What is that goal, gentlemen? Do we know? The goal is heaven.
That's right.
That's
Get
it.
Home. Get them home.
It's better than that. It's to become a saint.
That's right.
And we're all meant to be saints.
That's
what
right.
else is there?
You stole my thunder. I love this.
We're having fun.
Here we go. But this is our goal. And you're right. The goal is to become a saint and to bring us to heaven. So that's my job as a father.
So that's your job, but what are you doing about it? How are you carrying out your job?
To men's ministry.
Yeah, I guess you're right. You're
very
right.
Active.
How did you get into it?
Searching from my soul. Where is it? Where am I going? What direction? Where I came from the past. Now I'm here in the future. It's absolutely incredible.
It's amazing.
It truly is amazing. But the calling is definitely there. And there's much more. There's much more to come. I know that.
Carmine, I'm so impressed with you. I really am.
What's a men's group like? What do you do at a men's group? You play cards? Drink beer? What do you do?
Believe it or not.
A little of both.
We're Christians. But we do read the Bible.
Okay. Great.
They tell us that we're Catholics we don't read the Bible, but we do read the Bible. In fact, if you attend Mass, the entire Mass is the Bible.
That's right.
Yeah.
And this is what they don't understand. Who are they?
We went to the men's prayer group at Curia of Oz with the radio show several months ago,
and we did interviews.
Yeah. And it's such a wonderful group. The reason why I'm emphasizing the prayer group, today you have already, you're telling us you responded to God's call.
Yes.
But we're asking every man who's listening to respond to God's call. Join a men's group. Tell us a little bit about the group. How long have you been in it? And
it's just coming to 3 years now with the Men of Cure of Ours, and about maybe 2 years with St. Rose of Lima of Massapequa. Why is it important?
Do you do the same thing at St. Rose of Lima that you do at...
Slightly different. This is very good because you get two different things that we do. The Men of Massapequa, St. Rose of Lima, we read the Sunday Scriptures, which is it's incredible. And the Men of Cure of Ours, we work through a book called The Signpost. Are you familiar with The Signpost?
Yes, I am.
And this is
quite
also
an interesting book. It gives you a scripture and then asks questions in your journal.
That's correct.
We've got to switch. We have to take a break
first. Okay. Oh, we have to take a break.
We'll have to take a short break, so we'll be back in 2 seconds.
Okay.
Singing Faithful to Your Call. You know, is there a charge for this phone call, Tony? What do you think?
I don't know, but by the way, that gentleman was Jim Pierce. He's the engineer that set up the remote control. We apologize for any inconvenience, and we just hope that you forgive us.
And the bishop came in and stole Carmine and brought him into church because he really has been a bad boy. So what are we going to do?
So, but that's, we got Sean here.
Yeah.
So let's talk to Sean.
Let's stop the music. And Sean, this never happened to us before.
Really?
And
somehow
there's
I find it hard to believe.
There's always a first time.
Sean McCormick,
yes,
is a member of the Men of St. Joseph.
That's correct.
And it's a wonderful, wonderful organization.
Yeah. And let me just correct you. I don't run the Men of St. Joseph. Kevin Murphy runs it.
You're a member, right?
I'm a member, yeah.
Good.
Disclaimer.
Okay. And tell us about the Men of St. Joseph. When do they meet? What is it about?
The Men of St. Joseph here on Long Island meets at Our Lady of Mercy in Hicksville on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We have a mass, which is open to the entire community, and then at 7:30 the actual men's meeting starts. And we basically use the Magnificat as our prayer service, and then we read Sunday's Gospel, and we discuss it. And then once a month we do a catechesis discussion.
What's that?
Basic topics like what is purgatory, how do you speak about purgatory to your Protestant friends, how do you explain, you know, Catholic dogma and doctrine to them. So different topics. We have Father Jim Reynolds, who is our chaplain, who is an awesome man. He just comes in, and he does our masses every week, and he comes in from Immaculate Conception to do that.
Oh, okay.
And then he basically picks various topics that we're interested in. He actually hands us a sheet, and we check boxes, and we talk about those once a month also. So
it's once a month on Wednesday?
No, it's every week. We actually meet every week. Once a month we do catechesis.
Okay.
But
talk about scriptures every week?
Every week. Every week we talk about scripture. Yep. Mm-hmm. The nice thing about Men of St. Joseph is it's a national organization. So there's chapters all around the country. So even though Our Lady of Mercy is in Hicksville, they have chapters in New Orleans, they have chapters in Alabama, we have chapters everywhere.
And I see your mission statement is put the family in the hands of the Father.
Absolutely.
Father is capitalized.
You got it. Exactly. The hands of the Father, God the Father, as well as us being the Father of our families. Because there's been numerous studies showing that if a father leads their families in prayer and mass attendance goes up. So if the father's leading the family.
Okay, I have to reveal some pertinent information to you, a study that I just completed. I did an informal study on the percentage of men and women that go to religious services.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember last week, Palmer said 30% of the men, only 30% of the men go to religious services. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Well, you were wrong.
Oh, okay.
It's actually 20%.
Oh.
Well, so my statistics were a few years ago.
So according to the CHFO survey, the results are 20% of the men come to religious services and 80% of the women come to religious services. Except there's a bright note. On Sunday, the percentage is slightly increased. On Sunday, I would say, yes, there is 30% men.
There you go. I'm vindicated.
And 70% women. But that's not the point. The point is, on a regular basis, only 20%, according to my calculations and my surveys, and my surveys are pretty accurate, by the way, and they are bear out. Only 20% of you guys out there are going to church. What kind of example is this to your kids?
Exactly, exactly.
What's going on here?
Exactly.
Let's get up. Stop being a practicing Catholic and get in the game. We need you guys because real men love Jesus.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, as men and as women, people come to Mass because many times it's just a habit.
Sure.
But after a while, it takes on meaning.
Absolutely.
How did you get into this men's stuff?
You know, I've been friends with Kevin for a while, and he mentioned to me that, you know, they have this men's group on Wednesdays, and I've been going through a reversion of my faith. I think one of the challenges I've had is, well, growing up, I went to Mass every Sunday with my family. You know, we did it on a regular basis. But what I've really realized in the last couple of years, I was kind of sleepwalking through my faith.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to church because I was supposed to go to church. I was supposed to go to Mass, but I wasn't really participating actively and emotionally in the Mass. And starting doing some, you know, Bible readings and reading scripture passages and listening to Scott Hahn CDs, et cetera, and getting more engaged. And then talking to Kevin one day, and he said, you know, we have this group in Hicksville that meets on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. Maybe you'd like to come. Come when you can. And it's just very energizing to see just regular guys. You know, we all have jobs. We have things to show up at 7 o'clock at night. We have a Mass. And then we discuss scripture after we do the Magnificat readings. And to know that this is a national organization that has chapters all around the country, and we're trying to start other chapters here where you can have that cohesiveness of the men of St. Joseph and St. Joseph being the father of the Holy Family.
Sure.
It's just a great inspiration. So
I belong to a men's prayer group on Wednesday mornings at St. Mary's, and they meet from in Manhasset.
Mm-hmm.
And they meet from 7:30 a.m. to 8:30. And they discuss the scripture for the coming Sundays.
Yep.
They're not part of the men of St. Joseph. Maybe they should belong.
It's that open to everyone. Yep. The nice thing about it is that it's an inclusive group, and it does exactly the same thing. And the nice thing about it is it's really kind of a men's group in a box, so to speak. As long as you get approval from your pastor, the pastor knows what your format's going to be. It's the Magnificat readings. It's the Bible passage for Sunday, and it's the discussion of what that Bible reading is.
Are there any other men of St. Joseph groups on Long Island?
Not as of yet. This one's about, I believe, 2-3 years old. So
wow,
that's wonderful.
Let's stop and smell the roses for a few minutes. Let's see, what is this thing they call the scriptures? What do the scriptures do for us? Why do we have the scriptures? And what's the result of the scriptures? I think.
Thank God you're going to answer those questions. I was thinking of that. Poor Sean was the head of the table. What did you do to him?
Excuse me. I'm sorry, everyone.
That's okay.
But personally, I think the scriptures are a way of God to talk to each and every one of us individually. And believe it or not, although there's a main thesis on the scriptures, I think we all get something a little different out of the scriptures. I think we get a little message of what God is trying to tell us. Different scriptures for different people.
Right. And each one of us interpret them differently,
yes,
depending upon what we need at that time.
Exactly. You hit it, baby.
Yep.
You hit it right on the button.
I got the right answer.
You got the right answer. And
you go to the head of the class.
God and Jesus do talk to us, believe it or not, in all different ways.
Sure.
And I found that one of the ways that Jesus speaks to us are through scriptures.
Absolutely.
And sometimes I learned this game from Palmer. I don't know if I could say this over the air, but we play Bible roulette.
Huh.
And that's our way of Jesus talking to us.
Yep.
So anyway, I'll turn it all back to you, Palmer.
Okay. Sean,
yep.
We thank you so much for sharing. If people want to come to your prayer group,
mm-hmm,
what do they have to do? Just show up at Our Lady of Mercy?
Just show up at Our Lady of Mercy on a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. It's in the lower church. It's where they have Mass. They can call the Our Lady of Mercy Rectory and ask the secretary there about Kevin Murphy is, as I said, basically the leader of the group. She can ask for Kevin Murphy's phone number, and he can give it to them and reach out to Kevin. And you can contact him, and then you can talk about even setting up a chapter in your own parish, because we can have Father Jim meet with your pastor and talk about that also.
I have one question.
I wish that he would, because I work with the diocese, and I work with all the prayer groups in the diocese, and we're trying to build men's prayer groups throughout. And please, you know, we got to stay in touch.
We'll stay in touch, absolutely.
Because I would love to see that
yeah.
happen.
No, it's set a lot of us on fire, and it's just amazing.
You know what? Greg Willits just joined us.
Oh,
Greg
you is one stole of the my thunder.
One of the speakers at the conference, and Greg has his own radio show on Sirius Radio. But we're talking about men's prayer groups and the need for them. And you just... You know, as far as I'm concerned, this program has made my day because I'm looking through the diocese to get more and more prayer groups. Bishop Murphy has emphasized he wants Catholics to learn to belong to Jesus more deeply, and there's no better way to get an insight into that than belonging to a prayer group.
Absolutely.
Sean, we got to thank you.
Thank you very much.
Very much.
And I just want to mention, these prayer groups are the grassroots. The grassroots of families.
Absolutely.
And the grassroots of bringing up children.
Absolutely.
And the grassroots of bringing men back to Jesus.
Yes, indeed.
And real men love Jesus.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I have people, now you keep saying that, but I have people who say real women love Jesus. And then they said real children love Jesus. Real boys love Jesus. Real girls love Jesus. And some people say even their dogs love Jesus.
And some people say Marines don't cry. But anyway, we're honored. We're honored to have Greg Willits here with us. And believe it or not, Greg, personally, you're my idol.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Well, you need to find a new idol then.
When I get big, I want to be just like you, Greg.
Guys, thanks for having me on the program.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for coming.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I'm very excited to be in Long Island. I'm excited for the conference today. My father-in-law, who's originally from Puerto Rico, but he grew up in New York, last night kept saying, I'm going to be in Long Island. And he said, no, you have to say it.
Long Island.
He said you have to say Long Island. And I said, okay, all right. And that New York accent comes out of him every once in a while. I said, no, Greg, you got to get it right. If you're going to be speaking to all these guys tomorrow, you got to get it right. Long Island. So I've been practicing all day.
And the theme of our show is finding a way to respond to God's call.
Yeah.
And I think you've done that. Can maybe tell people what you do.
Well, my wife and I have been so incredibly blessed in many different ways. I'd spent a dozen years working in the IT industry, doing software development, and both on programming side as well as management, and was never really happy. I was never content. I felt God wanted me to do something else. I couldn't quite figure out what it was, and I just kept pushing, not realizing that he was training me, giving me some skills that I could somehow turn around and put to use for him. And I kept thinking, well, what good is all this IT training? How's this going to work? Only 2 years later, stumble into new technologies like podcasting and blogging and websites and social media. And it's like, okay, God, now I can understand, because if I had not spent all that time doing something where I was miserable, you know, now I can put all those things to work in a way that's helping other people. So started our Rosary Army Apostolate 9 years ago, just celebrated our 9th anniversary of making rosaries, all twine knotted rosaries, encouraging people around the world to make them and giving them away one at a time. And our motto is make them, pray them, give them away. And just been so incredibly blessed to be part of hundreds of thousands of rosaries being distributed around the world.
That's wonderful.
And as a result of that, eventually we led into podcasting in 2005. Our apostolate was the first Catholic organization to take on that new technology, because I've always been interested in just geeky things.
Mm-hmm.
And so started doing the podcast, and it just really took off on us in unexpected ways. Mm-hmm. My wife and I started doing a video series called That Catholic Show, and then over time, the Archdiocese of New York and Sirius XM, they found out about us, had us come up for a couple of auditions, and then we've been on the air with Sirius XM's Catholic Channel since 2008. So it's really been a tremendous journey, and I could not have mapped this out. When I married a non-Catholic woman back in 1995, I never would have expected, number one, that she would end up being a better Catholic than me, let alone that we would be working full-time for the church in various capacities for the past several years.
So we've been Jesus' plan.
Let me tell you, he is the strangest planner. He's project manager, and he doesn't follow flow charts. He doesn't follow Gantt charts. He's just like, you know what? I'm going to do it my way.
And Greg, we turn the show,
and you just have to get out of the way and let him do it.
Just show up to work, and he's going to tell you where you have to report each day.
And we turn the show over to him. Yeah. We don't even know what we're going to say before we get on.
No. And before you came here today, we lost contact with the studio, myself for 10 minutes, we were off the air. And now we're doing a show that we hadn't planned. So many, you know, that's
and we got
goes.
Greg Willits, of all people, on the show.
Hey, I'm very pleased.
Tell us what your show is, program is about on Sirius Radio.
Yeah, we're on the air every day from 1 to 4 Eastern Standard Time. Oh. And so 3 hours a day. And we talk a lot about family life. But we talk about the main thing. And we have a book coming out as well. It's officially releasing on Tuesday, but we have copies here as well today. They were able to get them printed in advance. And we talk about in the book as well of the stumbling blocks in life, the roadblocks that keep getting tossed our way. The world doesn't want us to be Catholic.
That's right.
The world wants us to do, you know, point our focus in a million different ways. And what we have found is the joy of being Catholic despite all the stumbling blocks. I mean, the first chapter of our book is called Our Neighbors Think We're Nuts, because they do. I mean, it's like, why do you have all these kids running around? Why are you so focused on your faith? Why are you doing the kind of strange things that you're doing, at least in their eyes? But for us, following our faith, we've been so incredibly blessed. And our show, we talk about that. We talk about a myriad of subjects on the show. Like yesterday, Friday, every Friday, we have a weekend movie rundown. My wife and I love watching movies. Unfortunately, most of them are garbage out there. So every week, we listen to movie trailers for movies opening up in theaters, and we talk about, well, is that something that you want to be putting in your brain? Is that something that you want your children seeing? Is that the kind of thing that you want to waste your time on? Sometimes the answer is yes. Most of the time, the answer is no. But we take that time because we're supposed to be in this world, but not of this world. And so we need to look at what is out there in the world, and then how do we apply our Catholicism in these different areas to either counteract or to help other people to mold to a Catholic understanding of the world versus a worldly understanding of everything. So,
what is a Catholic's understanding of the world, and how is it different? How's that?
Well, the
simple question. Come on in, Carmine.
The question maybe should be, what should a Catholic's understanding of the world be? Because you know, I think we all go through, even though we might be cradle Catholic, we might be convert. When my wife was baptized Catholic when she was a baby, but was not raised Catholic. And it wasn't until we'd been married for a few years that she decided that she wanted to be in full communion of the church. She went through RCIA. And even after she converted, we went through a period of a couple of years where we were deeply in love with Jesus. And we would go pick up, you know, any book that we saw at the bookstore that had Jesus' name on the cover, and we would read it. But it didn't necessarily adhere to the Catholic understanding of Scripture. And so we were trying to live out our faith, but we didn't have a firm understanding of it. What does it mean to be Catholic? I think it means that you need to be on a constant journey of understanding what the faith is.
That's right.
And one of the things, and I'll say this today as well here at the men's conference, from the moment that we're conceived, we're 2,000 years behind the curve when it comes to Christianity. We have a lot of catching up to do.
Absolutely.
You know, our learning will never, ever, ever end.
One quick question.
Yeah, sure.
And your wife's conversion.
Yeah.
What was the final throw that convinced her to convert?
Our son was born in 97, and she didn't want him baptized. She just wasn't sure about the Catholic faith. She didn't want to be, let me rephrase this, she didn't want him to be baptized Catholic. And for the first year of his life, so many discussions and so many miracles that we experienced that year. I mean, our faith life was growing, but it wasn't growing in light of the Catholic Church. She finally agreed shortly before he turned 1 year old, said, okay, he needs to be baptized. Let's go ahead and have him baptized. And so we had him baptized 1 week before he turned one. About a month and a half later, out of the blue, totally out of the blue, my wife Jennifer says, I want to be Catholic now too. And it's almost as if our son's baptism was the final push. We got married in the Catholic Church. But, you know, we were married for 3 years before we had our first son, and it was having our son baptized and that really made her realize
that
was
Jesus' way of talking to your wife through your baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's amazing.
I run the prayer groups in the diocese, and there were over 200 prayer groups.
Mm.
And I was asked the question, how does a Catholic charismatic prayer group differ from any other prayer group? And my answer, any other non-Catholic prayer group charismatic, my answer is three things. Number one, we believe in true presence in the Eucharist. Mm. Number two, we have a tremendous devotion to the Blessed Mother.
Mm.
And number three, we're under the authority of the Pope. Other than that, it's the same. It's the same spirit.
Yeah.
Cuts across everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, And you're absolutely right. And talking about prayer groups, I heard your discussion earlier about prayer groups. I think that's a challenge for a lot of Catholics, including myself. I'm very isolated in a lot of what I do. And that's something that I yearn for. That's something we need to pray for others that aren't in prayer groups, that they find that right prayer group. Because I've been in prayer groups over time, and those come and go also. Their relationships change and morph, and finding that right match. When you're gonna share prayer with someone, it's such an intimate thing.
Yes, it is.
It's a very, very challenging thing for some people, including myself. It's one of the things I've been praying about for years, is finding a good group.
There are people who are uncomfortable with hand-waving, and there are people who just hand-wave and don't go deeper.
You know,
so you got to really find where you fit. It's almost
it's the right fit.
Getting to the right count in the store.
It's the right fit, absolutely.
So what are your plans now for your show? It's going to continue.
Yeah, the show is going, as I said, we've been very, very blessed. And, you know, the thing about our show that is so unique is because we are married, because we have five children, and we get 3 hours a day where my wife and I get to just talk to each other.
Isn't that amazing?
And we broadcast. We have a studio in our home. We broadcast out of our house. We sit there, you know, and every day at 12:30, we're eating lunch together. And we keep looking at our clocks for 20 minutes. We're saying, okay, is it time? We've got to go upstairs yet. And about 12:50, we each grab water, and we go upstairs, and we sit down, and we're on. And then for 3 hours, my wife and I get to talk about various aspects of our faith, but share it with other people as well. We have a lot of callers into the program, and we have guests on the show. So we have we're learning every single day while also helping other people to learn about their faith.
Do you find that interaction helps other people, and that there's a coincidence with that interaction, and people are saying, yeah, that happened to me too?
I think that's huge. And one of the most helpful things, and I think that this is something that all of us as Catholics, we get very enthusiastic about our faith, which is great. Sometimes we get a little, I don't want to say pompous, we get overconfident in our faith. We start thinking it's us doing things rather than the Holy Spirit, rather than God leading the way. One of the most beneficial things that we do on the show, and let me tell you, I hate doing this, but I know how beneficial it is exposing our weaknesses, admitting when I screw up. And sometimes my wife and I have gotten into arguments on the air.
I was going to ask you that.
Oh, it happens frequently. But we allow that to happen. We'll look at each other and say, do we really want to go this way? You know, it's like you're on the air. You can't really go into show planning anymore. Sort of, we have these looks and my wife has several looks, and I've had to learn how to decipher these over the years. Do we really want to do this? And we realize, yeah, let's go ahead. This is going to be difficult. It's going to be uncomfortable for us and maybe even for people listening. But they may learn how to communicate as a couple, how to overcome difficulties, how to admit when you're wrong. Because what do we do when we screw up and we make mistakes? We have to be contrite. We have to admit our wrongdoings, and then we have to go to God and ask for forgiveness in those respects. And so giving that type of witness, again, no one likes to go in front of the entire world and say, look at me, I just screwed up again, and you just heard it live on the radio.
Greg, we're the same way. But it's, Palmer and I, we're the same way. When there's a screw-up, I blame him because he's the executive, producer. I voted him as the executive producer. But I love the guy anyway.
What channel is it on Sirius?
We're on Sirius and XM channel 159.
159. Oh,
okay. 159.
And that's every day?
Every weekday from 1 to 4, and then there's a replay on, we're on the air right now on Sirius. Our replay is playing right now on Saturday from 10 to 1.
You're my favorite.
Well, thank you.
And I said, and I meant, I want to be like you when I get back.
Greg, we want to thank you for coming by. That was wonderful.
And Greg is going to be a featured speaker at the conference today. Yep. So if you're doing nothing, come on, run down to the Holy Trinity High School and listen to Greg. And he's got a lot of things to tell you about Jesus.
Well, thanks, guys, so much. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Greg,
it's a pleasure.
God bless you, and thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Now, Sean. Yes. There's another. This is not Sean McCormick.
No, Sean Cotter.
Sean Cotter. And what? What is your claim to fame, Sean?
I just follow Jesus.
Okay.
But I'm part of the, I'm from St. Rose of Lima.
From the prayer group.
We have our men's group, St. Rose Men of Solidarity. And so we have a good turnout this year.
Oh, my Lord. How many people are here today, would you think?
I'd say in the 400s at least, minimum. Maybe.
Minimum. And I'm wondering if my survey's off.
Could be. Could be. Sean, you've been in the prayer group for how long?
For this group, we started our own group actually about 3 years ago.
Right.
And it's been developing. It started here when I ran into a fellow St. Rose parishioner, and we kind of met at this conference a couple of years ago. And we got together. We decided to go to our own parish, talk to our pastor, and start our own group. And
yeah, you know, these meetings, they're not just haphazard. They just didn't happen. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah. No, of course.
These
of course.
Are preordained things, by our Lord and Savior.
Things don't happen without a reason.
And this is Jesus' way of
that's right.
getting us guys back together again.
Yes, exactly. And I think for us, it's having new people join, just getting the word out there that we're there, and that it's always great to have one or two new people come in, because it's it's a great tribute to what God is doing in everybody's lives.
I love the shirt that you have on. You can't see this, listeners, but Sean is wearing a rather attractive shirt, black in the background, with blue picture of Jesus in outline, and the words are "belong more deeply."
I'm glad you noticed that.
I don't think Bishop Murphy knew that this was going to catch on as it is all over the land. We're trying through what I do in the Renewal Apostolate to get many prayer groups to go through praying one day of prayer where they would open themselves to the power of the Holy Spirit to learn to belong to Jesus more deeply.
That's right.
And Palmer, we have them coming up.
I have a surprise for you. I'm glad you noticed that shirt. I have a shirt for you. Uh-oh. I have that very shirt for you.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Cost me $15. Are you going to reimburse me for it?
No. Thank you. Thank you.
But I'm going to give it to you anyway.
Well, listeners, we've been kind of all over the place because this has been just a little bit complicated for us today.
Yeah, it's been a little bit different.
Yes, it certainly is. But you know, you said it best. You said it best. When God takes over, he never does anything in a straight line. You have a saint of the day?
Yes, I do. And I'm glad you asked, because I thought you were never going to ask.
I knew I was getting there.
Last week we did Saint Benedict, though. Saint Benedict. And Saint Benedict was from the Benedictines. So I thought that I would show that real men really do love Jesus, and I thought I would pick a friar this week.
Okay.
And the friar that I picked is St. Peter Regalado. That's how you say the name, Regalado.
Notice that you chose an Italian so you can pronounce the name.
Not really, he's French.
Oh, okay.
So the life of this great servant of God appeared to be merely a simple life. But he was born into very wealthy parents, just like many other saints. And again, the father passed away at an early age. And again, Saint Peter Regalado had an early calling to bring himself to God. And he told his mom about it when he was at a very early age, 7 years old, and his mom thought that he would forget it. And if you looked at him, you could notice nothing childish in him. He loved places. Guess what? He loved to go to retirement homes, places of retirement. He loved to sit with the elders. He would love to sit with you and I. I'm sure of that now. And for hours in deep devotion. And not only did he act like a saint, he also, as a child, meditated upon the sufferings of Christ. But he wished also to have a share in them by inflicting pain on his tender young body. So he was born, let's say, to be a saint, and he had it in him. But he was also born in a very busy time, 1414. And that busy time was so many things going on. And at Peter's death, the age of printing had just begun in the world. And Columbus' arrival in the New World was less than 40 years away. He became a friar. And he led his friars by example. A special love of the poor, the sick, characterized Peter. Miraculous stories are told about his charity to the poor. For example, one of his mysteries is that when he fed bread to the poor, that bread never seemed to run out. As long as Peter had hungry people to feed throughout most of his life, he lived only on bread and water himself. So he was devoted to the life of Jesus. And he gave a very simple example to his fellow friars. Live simple. Be poor. Don't become involved in anger over the sins of others. Forgive the people their sins. Know the gospel of Jesus. Know what he was trying to tell us. Just get out there and help the lonely and help the poor and help the needy. And you know what? His fate did not go unheard of by our Lord and Savior and by our Heavenly Father. He served his order in many positions of authority while observing strict religious life. But God rewarded his faithfulness, like God rewards us of our faithfulness, with many extraordinary graces and mystical phenomena. St. Peter of Regalado died in his 66th year of life, and he was acknowledged a saint by the crowds that visited his body before his interment and afterwards to his grave, where many miracles were worked. Because of these miracles, it was decided to remove his relics to a more honorable resting place. This was accomplished in 1492, 36 years after his death, when he was exhumed. Queen Isabella ordered that several fingers be removed from his body as a relic. The amputation of the fingers introduced a flow of blood, red blood, that continued for some time. This wonder was duly noted in the records of the order. Since 36 years after Peter's death, blood still flowed through his fingers. In addition, he was rewarded for his faithfulness in other ways. He was seen being raised from the ground above ground with flames underneath him radiating from his body as he possessed our glorified bodies will one day have that experience. It was also found that was seen in several places at the same time. Bilocate. We know a few saints that bilocated, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Padre Pio and the servant of God, Maria Espinanza. It is said that he possessed with ease and that our glorified bodies would do the same thing. As his biographer relates, he crossed over rivers as though they were solid ground, walked right over the water. And so he had very mystical attributes, but those mystical attributes were a reward from God and our Savior for his faithfulness from his young childhood. And so I used St. Peter as an example of men that love Jesus so that we can have someone that we could relate to. And so those men that have fallen back and that are not as close to Jesus, as a sign that maybe now is the time.
I think it is. You know, I'm thinking back on the show and the program and how we were just thrown off because of a technical difficulty. But yet, it changed the nature of the program. It got us out of our usual routine, Tony. And it's God saying, you know, guys, I don't want you to take the routine for granted.
Yes.
I want you to know that I am involved. This is not your program, Tony. It's not your program, John. This is my program. And you two men are just exemplifying the yes that we were trying to get across.
Absolutely.
We answer the call. The call. And everyone listening, every man listening, every woman listening, you get a call. Somehow or other, it's not a cell phone call. Something deep and internal. And God says, Tony, will you take communion to people in the hospital? Tony, will you set up for Mass the 8 o'clock Mass in your parish. Tony, will you give out Bibles? Tony, will you give out rosaries? Tony, will you set up tables for the men's conference? Tony, will you go to Eucharistic adoration on a regular basis? Tony, do you get up early in the morning and pray early in the morning? And you say the rosary. Tony, did I ask you to sit here with a rosary wrapped around your hand? And listeners, Tony has said yes to all of those calls and others. And it's good for you to hear. Nobody has to go around saying what they do. But God knows. He told us to go to our room in private and pray. And we do. And we do. You know, and I kid a lot with Tony back and forth, and I don't get a chance to really tell you on the air how much I admire all the stuff that Tony does. And he's a holy man, and he's been doing this for years, folks. When you start thinking about saying yes to God, think of people like Tony, myself, other people, who do what God asks them to do. You heard Greg Willett say, people say that my wife and I are crazy because we follow our religion so closely. Well, you're not crazy. You're just not functioning and following the values of the world of man. You don't want to do that. That's not your thing. If you say yes, each yes is a building block to a close personal relationship with Jesus that nobody can ever interfere with. When you create that bond, I know I'm talking a lot, and I wasn't going to talk because I have such a bad cold, but when you create a bond between Jesus and yourself, and you play it out in so many different ways, you build a relationship that is timeless. It's a relationship that will be there forever. The things we have in this world go away. But that relationship with God will never go away. And if you bring others to God by coming to a men's prayer group, coming to a men's conference, what you end up doing is bringing a great big smile to the face of God. You know, Tony, I didn't want to embarrass you by talking like that, but I'm not going to let you talk because I know you're going to say, oh, no, it's nothing and everything. But I just, as we move into the healing section of the program, I would like us to also, even though we're talking men, I think we should also pay attention to the Blessed Mother.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we're going to implore her with her husband to come into the hearts, souls, and the minds of all those that have written petitions for us. And as the Ave Maria plays in the background, we say, Mary, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, by your yes, you brought Jesus into the world. And we're asking all of our listeners to say yes to the presence of Jesus in their hearts so that Jesus can become fully alive in them, so that Jesus can take over in their hearts and lead them in very special ways. We all have our problems. We all have our concerns. I could go down a list of petitions that are here, but I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to say, rather than have all these petitions read out, we just want to have one petition. Open your heart. Let Mary lead you. And she'll lead you directly to her spouse, the Holy Spirit, and from there to Jesus. It's so simple. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to have a relationship with Jesus. All you have to do is say, like almost like an AA, hey, Lord, I can't handle this. And I need you, Lord. I need you. Would you help me? That's a yes. Would you come into my heart? That's a yes. Will you help me solve the relationship problems that I have? That's a yes. And he may sometimes come to you even when you're not ready to say yes and say, hey, guy, I'd like to talk to you. And you can squiggle and squirm, but he's going to get in.
And he's told us in Matthew 13, give me your burdens, I will carry them. And he does.
Yes, he does. And there's something that happens. You can end up celebrating the presence of God in you. And that's really what we want to try and do in terms of people saying yes. What happens? The joy of the Lord comes into your heart.
That yes is such a powerful yes, just like when Mary said yes.
Yes.
That yes unveils so many graces and so much power.
I know.
It's wonderful. It's like unbelievable.
It makes you want to dance. I like to dance Spanish.
But not on the desk.
There's I like to dance Spanish, though. Listen.
Go ahead.
Ready? Here it comes.
Get off the table.
No. Here it is. There we go. Listeners, we've been a little confused today and a little around the corner, but we did it.
Yeah, but let me just say a quote from St. Peter Regalado. He said that the devil tries every way possible to get us away from Jesus.
Yep.
Tries to interrupt in every way possible. And that he wishes to destroy our relationship and our efforts to evangelize.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what he did today?
Well,
he thought he was going to stop us. But no, we had Jim here. And we came right back.
Persevered.
We persevered.
You know, there's something to be said about being stupid. We just keep on persevering.
We cried and were worried, but we knew Jesus was going to take care of it, and we came right back. By the way, Palmer, we have so many messages and healings from our petitions, and I got a call a half hour before today's show from a grandmother who wanted to thank us for the prayers and petition of a grandson who was having some problems and difficulties, and he's now cured.
That's wonderful.
And she didn't want it to go unnoticed or unthanked. And she wants us to. So we give Jesus praise and glory and thank you for answering and healing the petitions that we have before him.
And we have many calls like that.
We
it's really surprising
that
people will come and let us know that, hey, you said I wasn't going to have surgery, and the doctor said I was.
Yes.
And then they did the pre-surgery, and I didn't have to have surgery.
And Mike, who the doctor swore his lymph nodes were cancerous, and every test that came back negative. And so we give praise and glory, and we prayed so hard.
And who else? Who else is doing it but God?
And my brother Frank, who 75% of his body gave in on him.
You know, and I also want to mention that when people do pass on, that's an answer to a prayer. They brought home.
Absolutely.
And that's hard to accept and understand, but it's true.
We don't know the graces behind all this stuff.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to play one last song as we go off. It's Here I Am, Lord, by John Michael Talbot. And it's really saying, are you ready to say yes? That's what the show has been about.
And Palmer, thank you for not sneezing on me today.
See you next week from the studio.
We'll be back live from WGBB in the studio.
Good.
We want to thank Jim, who is the engineer that set us up with the remote. I know it's a difficult job, but thank you, Jim.
And persevere to make it happen.
And Trevor, who's in the studio doing his end. Thank you, Trevor.
My hand
and Jesus for allowing us to do his thing and allowing for us to evangelize. Thank you, Jesus.
I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright.
lastly, we want to thank you, the listeners, who are growing every week more and more. And thank you for coming over to us. We love it when you tell us you're a listener. You get a hug personally from Palmer and myself. Thank you.
I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in. I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send?